Thank you, Lord. Is Jahiah in here? He went to the bathroom, okay. Because I don't think, did we mention his birthday this week? We did? Pastor mentioned it? Oh, yeah. Okay, so I just wanted to let him know we honored his birthday, too. And so, Randy, you bless my heart. I guess I've always been so blessed by the abandonment that Randy's had, yes, always in worship and not, you know, whatever he's going through, whatever, he comes and he just lays it out before the Lord. And I love that when you can be so abandoned, because that's what it's all about, you know, not coming to try to look any kind of way or try to have some kind of reserve, you know, but letting God just have all the praise. And I just thank God he's always going to be my son. I love him so much, and I just thank God. But did Jahiah come back in? No? Okay. So y'all just, when he comes in, you kind of look at him. He'll wonder why you're looking at him. I'll tell him later that y'all just wishing him a happy birthday. Okay? All right. Okay, but look at him real hard. Okay. This morning, I have on my heart, as we continue in our theme for this year, being kingdom representatives, you know, aiming at the kingdom. And this morning, I have an aim that God wants us to aim at, and is aiming at the kingdom's choice. Mm-hmm. Aiming at the kingdom's choice. I'm going to start out with this scripture that says in Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curses. Therefore, choose life. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. The power and the gift of choice is a wonderful thing. But often we can feel powerless and believing that we cannot make any changes in our lives, or we can't change the situation, that there is no power over our circumstances. We believe this to the point that sometimes we become paralyzed. We come motionless. Sometimes we give our power away. Have you ever given your power away? Yes, yes. Your power of choice to others. I have done that a lot in my life. The power of choice to others, hoping that they will make the right choice for us. And we got to realize that God has given us the power of choice. Mm-hmm. He didn't make little robots. He made us where we can choose. It's not a problem of choosing, it's a problem of our whether or not we're going to choose wisely, or what we're going to choose right. A lot of times we are hesitant and fearful in choosing. You guys have heard that many times. I'm trying very much more so to get better at choosing, because I am a very hesitant person that chooses in just a dress, you know, just choosing a meal. And I've noticed that, you know, one of my favorite people, Pastor Sal, you know, he's always telling me, Pastor Linda, just choose. He's just point at it and just choose. Well, the point at it and just choose has not always been very good for me, because, and I know what he means is don't muddle over it so much, but I've pointed at things and it's been horrible, bad choice, you know. I've even done that with the Word of God. I've been going through something and I said, I'm going to open up the Word of God and I'm going to just point at it, and whatever that verse is, that's what God's saying to me. And then there's been sometimes I've been like, he's not telling me that. I know that's not for me. And then I keep going through the Word again, boom. But God is not like us just in the dark choosing. You know, God wants us to make wise decisions. Yes, yes. Wise decisions that that he leads us into. He doesn't want us to be hesitant and fearful, because when we're hesitant and fearful, things can happen. You know, have you ever been just hesitant and fearful, like probably me, is driving and, you know, whether I should go? You know, I'm at this stop and everybody stopped and all of us are looking at each other and I'm just kind of like, go. I'm going to live to see another day. The thing is, I'll be hesitant, you know, and sometimes I feel, you know, they're doing all their little fussing at me and all this stuff. And I'll be like, that's okay. You just don't wait on me. I'm going to live. But the thing is, it's hesitant sometimes in just choosing to do what I know to do, and fearful. It means that I'm not trusting myself, right? There's some distrust in my decisions. And why can there be distrust in our decisions is because sometimes I've jumped out there wrong and almost got into a crash, okay? Sometimes I've made decisions and thought it was going to be the best decision. I don't know if I might be the only one in the house, because Pastor Linda does some crazy things. But I've made some decisions that cost me a whole lot. I've made decisions where in my sadness, in times of anger, in times of depression, I've made decisions that cost me a lot. And so I've learned not to be so, you know, letting my feelings guide my decisions. And I learned that there has to be a higher place that I go to for decisions than even my own self. To choose means to take a keen look at. And when I looked that up, it helped me to realize that we can't just point at something and just wish and hope that we made the right choice. Because to choose means to take a keen look at, to really look at, to account for, and it means to test, the testing or examining what we're about to do. That there's something that's been tested, okay? If I go to just walk off of this pulpit, you know, just to walk off without testing or examining, that there's two steps, I'm going to go. And that's how I felt one time in my life. I didn't see those two steps, and I just, bam. So you testing and you're examining. Choosing is not just willy-nilly. It's not just doing anything without testing and examining. A lot of times the things that we learn from experience, things that we learn from other people, things that people have went through, that can help us to make right choices, that when they go through something and they tell us don't walk into that wall, it's going to hurt. But is it funny about us? Sometimes they can say that wall is going to hurt and we'll still walk into that wall. And God finds that out a lot, even though he gives this great, he's giving them this, I set before you life and death. He said, you choose, okay? But when God says that, it's not just words. Like, I set before you the word life, and I set before you the word death, and you choose. But he's showing us what is life and what is death. He's showing us what it is. Now you choose. It's not some words on a page, but they're actually that if you take this way or you take that way, and this is what happens over here, and this is what happened over there, now you choose. Most of us, when he says in this scripture, most of us, if you would ask us, we would say, I want life. You know, none of us would say, I want death. We would say, I want life. And so when we say that we want life, we forget that there is a path that he's saying that is to life. It's not just, I want life, but I go out here and I do anything that I want to do. I act any way I want to act. I respond any way, but I want life, and there's a path to life. And a lot of times when we say, I want life, we're not thinking about the path. We haven't examined the path. When we come to God, a lot of times we don't know the all of it, right? When we come to God, we say, at altar call, will come up and you go, I want you, Lord. I want you, Lord. I want life, and I want that more abundantly. But if we knew everything that was going to happen, instead of how our minds think, I want life. and I'm going to walk out of church today, and everything's going to be great, and it's going to be wonderful, and all my enemies are going to be gone, and my health is going to be, but it doesn't happen that way. And it doesn't happen that way because in the Bible it says you will suffer persecution. It lets us know that we're going to go through hard, but if you don't get into the Word, you don't know what life, what God's life means. You only know what we think life means. Everything good, everything straight, everything wonderful, everything that I want. But God lets us know that we need to get in His Word, and that is where we find life. In Deuteronomy, when Moses was telling the people of Israel this is what he came to them because they had been through the 40 years of walking around, and in those 40 years, they had said they was going to worship God, but then they'd serve other idols. Then they say they was going to worship God. Then they find some more idols. And then some of them would die. And even though some of them would die, you would think that when some of them die because they were disobedient, that the others would say, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm going to follow God all the way. But no, even though some died, they would still find themselves in rebellion and against God and doubting God. And there again, they would turn their backs on God. So at this point, Moses is telling them, there's a witness against you. That you can look, these that have made it through, and it was the people, most of them were 20 years and younger that made it through, because all of the older ones, a lot of them died because of their rebellion in the wilderness. Can you believe that? The older ones, a lot of them died in the wilderness because of their rebellion. And so he was telling them, now there's witnesses. Look, there's a witness. He said, there's witnesses of when we rebel. There's a witness of what happens when we go against God's word. There's a witness that we die. He says, now, I'm telling you, before we get and cross this river Jordan, I need you guys to know that God is saying, I set life and death, and I've been doing it the whole way. I've been telling you what to do and how to do it. I've been showing you the way to live. I've been showing you how to get through this wilderness. But here again, I'm telling you, I set life and death before you. You choose.
Yes.
And he's always given us a choice.
Yes.
He's always given us a choice, and he's always set something before us that we can see if we make this choice or that choice, what the end's going to be. There's always a witness to our choices. If we look hard enough and if we pause long enough, we will find out there's a witness to any choice that you make that someone can tell you, that's not a good choice. Or somebody could say, that's a wonderful choice, you know, because of things that they've experienced and went through. And that's what the Holy Word is about. It is a witness to what is good and what is bad. From Genesis to Revelations, we can look in the Word of God and we can find what is good and what is bad. And if we would just adhere to it, we'll see that God's given us this roadmap. He didn't just say choose and not show us that if we make that choice, what's going to happen, or this choice, what's going to happen. He's a good God. He's really a good God. And so in Deuteronomy, while he's going on to tell them this, he's telling them, how do you choose? And in Deuteronomy 30 and 20, it says this, and may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he gives them the way that to do this, to walk in this choice. He says, how you walk in this choice, you love the Lord your God, because he is your life. They were loving all kind of idols, but what he was saying, love the Lord your God, for he is your life. Same thing that he was telling them back then is the same thing he's telling us today. There's so many things that we can fall in love with and say that we're in love with, but God wants us to love him because he says, even above people and things, he is our life. And if we love him with that thought in mind that he's my life, he's my source, and obey his voice, then we will live and not die. We have to commit ourselves wholly to the Lord and to his ways. To choose the Lord is to choose a real choice. And a real choice requires real response and a devoted and committed response. We can't just say that we chose something and don't have a response to it. Our response is what shows what choice we really made. I can say all day, I choose Pastor David. I choose Pastor David. I choose Pastor David. And my mind is on somebody else or serving some other man. That wouldn't show y'all that I chose Pastor David. My response shows that how I walk with Pastor David, how I honor Pastor David, how I love shows. When I dishonor him, somebody's like, did she really choose him? You know, how I look at him sometimes. They always say, look at the wife while the man is up. Look at the wife. Look at her face. Because sometimes her face will let you know whether or not things are going all right. Because, you know, sometimes we can't even pretend very well, okay? But when we choose, there is a response. And not just any old kind of response. It's a heart response. And that's what, when we say we choose God, it's not just from our lips. And God talks about in the Bible how we say that we love him with our lips, but our heart is far from that. Yes. And what he means that is, you give me all this lip service, but in your attitudes and your actions, there's none of that love that you are saying with your mouth. The same call in for the Israelites that Jesus was saying in the Old Testament, love God with all your heart and obey his voice. Jesus came and he said the same thing. And he said in Matthew 22:25-40, and one of their number, a lawyer, asked him a question. He asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which kind of commandment is great and important? The principal kind. In the law, some commandments are light, which are heavy. Isn't that something how he wanted to know which are heavy, okay? And he replied to him, you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, your intellect. This is the great, most important principle and first commandment. This is the great, most important principle and first commandment. What is it? To love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. All. The word is all. All. Nothing given to anything else. All your heart, all your soul, and nothing comes before him. And he said, a second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. These two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. God is saying right there, if we could just keep those two, you know how we say, there's so many commandments. But God is like, if you just keep these two, you're keeping them all. If you love me and you love your neighbor with all your heart and soul, you're keeping them all. You will keep all 10 of them if you love God and you love your neighbor. You will keep all 10 of them. We are opting for life or death by our choices. Every day we make choices. Mm-hmm. From the time we wake up in the morning to the time before we even get out the bed, because we're making a choice whether we're going to get out the bed, all right? From the time we get up, these eyes awake, we are making choices. And although they may just seem like little, ordinary, everyday choices, they have something to do with life or death in our lives. Even those little mundane ones that just seem like they're on autopilot. And some of those times, we got to watch our autopilot choices. Because some things we just doing without even thinking. We're just in autopilot. We're not even thinking. But God wants us to think, because every choice, it has something to do with life or death. There's times when I get up and, I get up out the bed and first thing out my mouth might be, I look out the window and I see it's raining. For the first thing, I'm like, oh my God, it's raining. It's gonna be a gloomy day. I've done that. Nobody's done that? Huh?
I have.
Thank y'all, because I was like feeling like kind of alone. But anyway, but we shouldn't do that, okay? So my first choice starts my day.
That's right.
It starts either life or death over my day. And I've had to learn this in my walk, how important, because sometimes those things, when the pastor's talking, some of those things don't even hit my mind. I'm thinking of some big choice or some big decision that I need to make that might be life or death. And I'm not thinking about the little things that I do every day that add up to whether my day is going to be fruitful, joyful, instead of waking up saying, this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. And that when I say I will rejoice, doesn't matter whether it's snowing, raining, hailing, I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. When I start that with my conversation, then I can walk through the art. If I wake up and go, oh my God, I feel, and this for years, because this was something that I went through for years, being after my surgery, was so nauseated. So I would wake up in the morning, I would go, babe, I'm so nauseated. And I'm just so not, and seriously, I was seriously nauseated. But saying it didn't change it. Now remember,
right.
You, that's what you gotta ask yourself. Sometimes I ask myself, so okay, saying it, what's that gonna do? What is that going, and really, I'll be looking at my husband sometimes, I'm so nauseated. Do something! And he says, babe, all I can do is pray. I wish you wasn't, but all I can do is pray. And the thing is, that's what he can do, is the most greatest thing of all, is to pray. But I've started my day like that, and I can walk through the day and go in the kitchen. I'll be like, oh, I'm so nauseated. I don't even think I'm going to eat this morning. So nauseated. But I have now put that is not life. It's not life. What's attacking me is death to my body, death to my health, and death to my day. And I don't need to agree with it. See, a lot of times we come into agreement with what is attacking us instead of coming into agreement with life and what can help us, what can revive us, what can heal us, what can strengthen us is God's word. And a lot of times we don't realize in those little things. And remember this, in the little things that we think, that's so small, that's so little. You know, you don't have to think like that. But remember, it's the little things that we do habitually that when the big thing comes, we think we're going to do the right thing, but we've made a habit out of being negative, a habit out of speaking from the enemy's camp. And so now here comes the big thing, and now it's really overwhelming because we've learned how to speak about the mountain instead of to the mountain. So God really wants us to realize that everyday choices, that they are either death or life choices, and to really stop and see, what are we doing? What are we saying? How are we saying it? And who's getting the glory out of what we are saying? In John 10:10, it says this. Well, I'm sorry, I jumped some scriptures. In Romans 6:23, it says this, for the wages which sin pays is death, but the bountiful free gift of God is eternal life through in union with Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's why we can't be so willy-nilly about sin. We can't be so casual about sin, because the wages, the payment of sin is death. The problem is that we just don't fall out. And so because we don't fall out and die, it's not immediate. We don't take it seriously that the wages of, you are earning wages. Just like you work all day long and you don't get your wages till the end of the day, the end of the week, or the end of the month. It doesn't come right then. It's the same way about sin. We are working as we keep on sinning. We are building up wages that any day that payment is given to us. And so sometimes because judgment isn't executed speedily, we think we've gotten off the hook and we'll fall into this pattern of sin, thinking because nothing has happened to me, I'm okay doing this. but you are storing up wages that out of the blue, here comes payday. And a lot of times when payday comes, we're like, oh my God, what, why? It's because we've been sinning and sinning and sinning and thinking because nothing has happened that we are in the clear. But God does not lie. And he said the wages that sin pays is death. And we got to remember that. And when we're choosing to do things and they're not things that are of God or of his word, there's a payday coming, you guys. There is a payday coming. In John 14 and 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by or through me.
Yes.
In the Message Bible, it says, I am the road. I am the road. I am the path. When we're saying, oh, what to do? What choice should I make? What choice? Where should I go? Jesus says, I am the road. I'm the path. I'm the road you should take. Also the truth and also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. In John 10 and 10, he lets us know this. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The only reason why the thief comes to our life is for no other reason. If he's telling you something outside of God's word and it's not in God's word, it's the thief. And he's not coming for any other reason, but you know, when he tempted Eve in the garden, he wasn't coming her to let her taste this beautiful fruit and see how good the fruit was. He wanted to steal from her. He wanted to kill her. He wanted to destroy. He doesn't come for any other reason but to kill, steal, and destroy. And we need to recognize why the thief is coming into our life. Don't allow life and its circumstances to steal your gift of choice. Don't hand it over to the flesh. Don't hand your choice over to the flesh. Many times we make fleshly decisions and choices. Don't hand it over to the flesh. The flesh cannot be trusted because the flesh is going to do what benefits the flesh. So don't hand it over to the flesh, but we must hand over our choices and decisions to the word of God. In Proverbs 1 and 14 and 12, it says this, there is a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but at the end of it, it is the way of death. Now, this is why when I said don't, some of us have a lot of confidence in our flesh. And even when I say don't hand over your choice to your flesh, you're thinking, well, I've made some pretty good decisions. I'm pretty smart. I know a lot about life. And we feel like, wait a minute, I know some things, but right here in Proverbs, he's letting us know there is a way which seems right to a man. There is a way that seems right to a man. And you know what? And it even appears straight. He said it seems right and it even looks right. It looks straight. He says before him, but the end of it is the ways of death. And he wants us to know, don't trust your flesh. Because your flesh can think something is right. And it can think something right based on many things. It can think it's right because of information that you've gotten wrong. It can how you were brought up. A lot of things that we just do, but we don't understand, is this the right way? And God wants us to know there is a way instead of what to do. What to do is to go to the word of God. What to do is to find out what God would have us to choose. In Jeremiah 10, 23 and 24, it says this. Jeremiah pleads, and he says, O Lord, pleads Jeremiah in the name of the people, I know that the determination of the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man even, and I want y'all to hear this, it is not in man even in a strong man or in a man at his best to direct his own steps. Good. Even you can be a strong man And even at your very best, God said it's not for you to direct your own steps. Do we hear that? Do we hear that? Even though we can be smart, intellectual, strong, God is, Jeremiah said, we know this. Do we know? And when I say that, he said, we know that, but do we know that? Do we know that it's not in a man in his own self that even though he's strong or he's at his best to direct his own steps? A wise man really realizes that he needs his steps directed by the Lord. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord, right? Lead me, guide me every day, right? That's what we need God to do, is order our steps every day. No matter how strong we are, no matter how much knowledge we have attained, every day we still need to say, order my steps. When we get up in the morning, we can't think we're going to walk like we did yesterday, because today may be a whole different day, whole different challenges, whole different temptations that come against us. We need to get up every day, not say, oh, I'm going to go to work today. This is what I do every day. I'm just going to go out of this house with my everyday thought. No, we need to say, God, I need you to order my steps, because no matter how much I learned from yesterday, I still need you to teach me more today. Amen. God wants us to know that we must resolve that the most basic and most important life choice in this life we must make is to make the choice that God would instruct us, and that he would lead us, and that he would guide us, and that we would choose life. There's choices we make, hundreds of choices all day, but the most important choice that we as God's believers must make is to choose life, and to make sure we're choosing life. Not just I came to the altar and I choose life, but to make sure we're choosing life, making sure we choose step by step, am I choosing life? Step by step, am I choosing life? True life choices must be founded upon the word of God above all feelings, because feelings can send you all kind of different ways. We must choose kingdom words. We must choose kingdom words. The Bible lets us know life and death are in the power of the tongue. We must choose kingdom thoughts. We learned the scripture that says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Amen. We must choose kingdom thoughts. We must choose kingdom priorities. The Bible lets us know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all the other things will be added if we seek the right thing first. We must choose kingdom responses and deeds. And the Bible lets us know, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. We must consider how we spend our money, how the thoughts we think, the words we say, the attitudes we hold, whether they are expressions of the kingdom's choice, loving God and obeying his voice. That's how we must choose. How I'm acting right now, how my attitude right now is a choice. Our attitude is always a choice. Sometimes we say, you make me mad, or you made me do that. Nobody can make you do anything. We have a choice. People can do things. We can't control what people do to us, but we can control our response. And God, we have a choice about how we respond. And we must ask ourselves, in all of our attitudes and our moods and our responses, are we glorifying God in word and deed? Sometimes we glorify God with words, but when it comes down to deeds, when it comes down to moods, when it comes down to those things, we forget all about it, that this is a time when I should be making a kingdom choice. I can choose to look mad. I can choose to have an attitude. I can choose to let everybody in here know I ain't good with y'all today. I can choose that, or I can choose to let the Holy Spirit resonate in me and give me a better response, a loving response that reflects. Sometimes we say, I'm just being me. This is how I really feel. Do you know what? God is not asking you to reflect how you really feel. We're not representing how Linda feels. I'm representing how God feels. And that's the kingdom choice. When I say that I've made that choice to follow Jesus and to be his image bearer, I've got to watch the image that I'm bearing. Do you see? And I can't just be me because I said that I am representing God. And so I have to stop and say, wait a minute. I'm mad. Yes, I'm mad. But Jesus helped me so that I don't have to display an image that Jesus would not display. We have to, when we choose, we got to make, see, it's in those little things. It's in those little mundane things. It's the lady that's honking at you and giving you a finger. What is your kingdom choice going to be? What is your kingdom response going to be? How are you going to respond in a kingdom way? Have we really chosen the kingdom's choice, the kingdom's way of doing? Have we really chosen it? And a lot of times it's in those little small, we know how to put on the good one when in the bigger things. Okay, see, because that's what the Bible says. Remember this? It's the little foxes that destroy the vine. We know how to put on, if we're in front of a lot of people, we will get ourselves together. But sometimes we just, and if we're just as a whole bunch of people, but sometimes with family, we just let our hair hang down, and you can know my attitude today. But God is saying you are not to be bearing your image. You're bearing the image of God. And you have to make that choice. When we say, Lord, I choose the kingdom. I choose you, Lord. I choose your way of doing things. I choose your way of walking, talking, looking, smiling. I choose your way of doing things. Help me to do it. Choose life. And when we choose life, even when I'm saying this, you know, we've been talking about love, talking about love, talking about love. And I'm so thankful been talking about love, because I find in so many areas after we've come through our Bible studies and stuff, and I begin to just start thinking about it, there's another area here, right? I need to get that more together. Lord, I need to get on that. There's another place, you know. And even when we have our altar calls, I remember last Sunday, Pastor David was calling up. And as I was standing there, I was like thinking, you know, I need to go up and help him pray. And then God said, no, you need to check out yourself right now. Just check it out. Check out what he's saying and see if you're on that 100%. And as I was standing there, I was like, I'm not on that 100%. Okay, let me go up here and get the prayer that's needed. A lot of times we don't want to go back to the altar, but the altar is the place where when we come to the altar, we're saying, Lord, I need you. I know I don't got it all together, and I'm not going to get it all together by myself. No matter how much I want to be all together, I can't do it by myself. And so, Lord, I need you. And so coming to the altar is a wonderful place to be honest with ourselves and say, Lord, I need more. I need more. So when we choose to live the in the kingdom, one thing we got to realize is this, is that we got backup. Because some of these things are hard. Love your enemies. Love them that hate you. Love them that despitefully use you. Love them that you know, do all kind of cut you off and do ornery things. Love them. Some of them things are really hard. They're not just this easy thing. They are really hard. And God wants us to know this today, is that when I tell you to do something, once you come to the kingdom, you got the kingdom back up. You have. I'm not telling you to do it by yourself. I'm not telling you that you got to do this all by yourself and I'm just standing back and I'm watching you to see if you're doing it. You've got kingdom backup. I'm in it with you. I'm walking right with you. And one of the things that he said that we need to believe for is more. And that's what we, every time we hear the word of God and the word of God is hitting and there's another thing that we know that God is trying to make us more like him, and we're like thinking to ourselves, man, oh God, I got to get that right. Man, I got to get that right. God said every time, do not be discouraged. The very fact that you see that you need to get that right is a wonderful thing to our Father. You know, when your kids are honest and go, I need help, you are happy about that. You're not mad about that. God is not mad about that. God is saying, all you need to say is, I need more.
Yeah.
I need more. And God gave me this wonderful thing that I want to show you guys. God, he said, the believers need to ask and believe for more. More love.
Yeah.
More power. God, more of you in my life.
Yeah.
Christ has given us power through the Holy Ghost to do everything he has ever asked and directed us to do so that we can live victoriously. There's nothing God asked us to do that we can't do because he's given us the power to do it through the Holy Ghost. Now imagine this, if you gave your loved ones a check and said, I really want to bless you with this money. Go treat yourself. Then every time you checked your bank statement, the check had yet to be cashed. You keep looking for when the withdrawal would be posted, but there it sits. Still untouched. Not only is the one you wanted to be blessed missing out on how you feel, but you're being denied the blessing that you want to be in their life. As children of the kingdom, we have access to God's limitless supply, okay? He has a supply that has no limits on it. But we put limits on his love, his power. And God is telling us that he wants us to cash the check in. Let God love through you when your own love stops. There are times when, as we're walking along, we think we got all the love in the world, right? We can come to church and just think, you know, when I walk out of, after that sermon, I love everybody. You know, you just think, and then all of a sudden something comes up and just, because it is, because God wants us to see that where we are, it's coming up. As soon as you think you got it all together, then it's coming up and you find out, wait a minute, I don't, it's right there. And God is saying, cast the check. He said, when you feel depleted, when you feel overwhelmed. And so God gave me this check. So I want y'all not to forget it. God wants us to cash the check from the kingdom's bank. He wants us to make a withdrawal, okay? God's love cannot be depleted. It cannot be overdrawn. And there's no such thing as insufficient funds. God wants you to know whenever you need more, you just say more. God, more love. You're sitting there cussing you out. They're cussing you out. Cash in the check. More love. More power. More of you in my life. Come on, you're going through stuff and you're feeling overwhelmed and you feel like giving up. God said, cash in the check. More love. More power. More of you in my life. So he's getting ready to pass these out, and what these are out this morning is we're all going to be in this little object lesson sermon this morning because God wants us to cash in the check. Thankful for Pastor David. He made some little checks for me this morning. I love my husband. Thank God. I want y'all to take the checks. And I'm serious about this, you guys. Our problem is that we go through really hard times and really hard situations where we are depleted, we are overwhelmed, we feel like giving up, we feel like I can't do this. And what we do is we just start talking that to our, have you ever been like, I can't? I mean, I've done that so many, I can't, I'm sorry, I just can't, I'm done. Have you ever done, I'm through, I can't? And God is saying, those are the things that we shouldn't say. I'm done, I'm through, I can't. It's all about you anyway. And what God wants it to be is all about him.
Yeah.
And what he wants you to say is, more, Lord.
More, Lord.
More, Lord. I'm cashing in this check. We're choosing the Lord's way over our way, right? We're believing when we come, we said, I choose. When we come to the altar, we say, I choose you, Lord. I choose your path. I choose your way. But along that path is going to be so many things that try to bump you off the path, knock you off the path. And God wants us to realize that that's how it's going to be, okay? On the path, there's going to be all kind of things coming on that path to even to kill you. But God wants you to know that any time on that path when you're feeling depleted or you're feeling overwhelmed, God wants you to know there's a check. There's a kingdom bank. There's a kingdom bank that if we would just cash the check, the check's already, it's already here, you guys. You don't even have to, this is just to visualize it, okay? But it's already there. You don't need him to throw some paper check out of heaven, okay? It's already here. It's already within you that you can say, Lord, more. Lord, more. He works better than any bank on this earth, because in this bank on this earth, you better have something in it, right, to get something out. You can go stand before that cash machine all day and say more, but if there's nothing in it, you're not getting anything out. But our God, I'm not asking for more of me. Now, if I was saying more of me, Lord, more of me, I might find an empty bank. But I'm saying more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. I need more, not more. Linda's love has just ran out, God. Lord, I need more love. I mean, your love. I need your power. I might be out of hope. Come on. I might have forgiven the last, you know how it says, I think I'm at the 70 times 7, right? I'm there, Lord. This person has worked me up to there, Lord. And God is like, but I need more. I need more forgiveness, God. I need more. Lord, cash it. I'm asking for a withdrawal. And if we did it and we believed it, God would give us more. Do you understand? If you believe, have you ever tried it? I know I have tried. I don't know why sometimes, most of the time that we don't ask God, we're really, really tired. We haven't got into our word. We're not strong. We've been tossed to and fro without going and back to the water, to the river. And so things come up on us, and we're so depleted that when something hits us again, we're just down for the count. But I don't care how down for the count. Just think of, I love this part. I don't really like boxing because I think it's a bloody thing, and men fighting men and bloodying them up makes no sense. But I love the part when that man is down there, ding, 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 and he's down there, and you think that bell's going to ring, and they're counting the countdown. And sometimes they don't jump up. They just kind of, and they're wiping their face, but he's up. Well, that's the thing about God. God will get us up. Do you see? He's our source. I don't care how down you are, how depleted you are, how out you are. The devil says, she's out. He's out. He's out. And God is just saying, cash in. Cash in. Withdraw. Withdraw. God, you can just wiggle your... See, God is... you don't have to do a whole bunch. Just call on the name of Jesus. Come on. You don't have to jump up. You just... Jesus. And that devil looking at you, thinking you down, and before you know it, God got you up, and you're doing what you need to do with the power and the authority of Christ in these, as God says, these frail, weakened bodies. Yes, there's a treasure within us that's stronger than these weak bodies that can help us to get through any turmoil, anything that's stopping us, we can go through. And people are looking at, you up? I'm up. I'm up in the name of Jesus. I'm going on in the name of Jesus. My attitude's great in the name of Jesus. You can change your attitude. And see, most of us just persist in it. But you have a choice. Even in the middle of your nasty, you can turn around and go right.
That's right.
We just persist in it. See, because God is with you, Mike, right? So when it starts, God is right there. And you can say, help me, Lord, and he can help you, Lord. And maybe you just feel an extra ornery today, and you just keep walking in your orneriness. And then all of a sudden you realize, I just stink. I'm really ornery. Lord, help. God can help you right there. And then you can get really, 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 really ornery. I'm just telling you, wherever part you at, you may get so ornery, you do something crazy, and you can still say, God, I need more.
Yeah.
I need more. Yeah. And God will be right there to give you more. But the thing that God is trying to get, as babies, we keep on going to that really ornery place. But God is trying to call us to maturity, where we realize, see, a baby would look at this check, our young kid would not cash in the check. They might just tear up the check. It's just a piece of paper. They don't know. They might color and scribble all over it. They don't know. But God is saying, come on, church, we're not babies. We need to access what God has given us. He has given us everything that we need for godliness. He's given us all the wisdom that we need. He's given us all the strength that we need. And all we need to do is cash in the check. Say, more God. More God. Somebody say, more God. Now, you see that check that was given to you right here. I want everybody, just for a moment, I want you to be really honest. And this morning is just one thing. Does everybody have a check? No? Who doesn't have a check? Oh, okay, all right. Okay, don't put money in here because somebody want to put some money up in here. We'll hand that to Marlon. Okay, right now we're going to put right in here, pay to the order of what is it that we need more. Just be honest with yourself. Maybe you need more patience. You know, all week long you find yourself getting aggravated with people in the line, people going slow, people not doing what they're, you know, that impatience that get on, okay? You know, you had a week, okay? Maybe you need more love. Maybe you just need more hope. Your hope is just like, everything's been attacking your hope. I don't know what it is. Maybe you need more kindness. God has given you opportunities to be kind, but all those opportunities, you just kind of let them go away. Maybe you need kindness. Maybe you need more long-suffering, the things that God has asked us to have. Maybe you just need more forgiveness. Cash it in. Put on here, pay what you need. What do you need? Forgiveness, more of it. Put $1 million. Pastor would say, I need $1 million worth of patience. He's always say, you need some more patience, girl. $1 million worth of patience, but I need kingdom patience. Whatever it is that you know that you need, I want you to put right here. And this morning, it's going to be a different kind. I'm not saying if you want to come to the altar, it's not going to be that. Or if you think you need to come to the altar, it's not going to be that. It's come to the altar. And so this morning, as you write that in, whatever it is that you wrote, that's between you and God, okay? And why we could, many of us might say, you know what, I could put about 10 things down. I'm only asking you, God is so good, because he knows if we put 10 things down, we'll be so overwhelmed and give up and throw the check away. But the thing is, one thing, because God is saying in that one thing that you put, God is going to bless you. He is going to bless you as you ask for more. And so this week, all this week, you're going to be saying more. More love. Whatever it is. More hope. More forgiveness. Maybe you just feel really, when it comes to temptations, you just feel really weak. And every time you're tempted with this same thing over and over again, and you don't want to do it, but every time comes, you're just tempted and tempted and tempted. More power, God. More power. Whatever it is, I want you to put it on that line. I'm not collecting them. I'm not looking at them. God knows. That's yours to put in your Bible, your wallet, something you can pull out this week and look at. And you're not looking at it to condemn yourself. You're looking at it to say more. That's what God, he don't want you looking at it saying, man, I've been going through this so long. I keep doing it. No, God says, more. More, God. More, God. So as soon as you've written it, I ask you to bring it, and we're going to come to the altar. In the most desperate and overwhelming situations and times of our life, we just need more. See, what the enemy tries to do is, what the enemy will do is, the enemy will act like you don't have nothing. That's his whole thing, that when you do something, the enemy's always going to make you feel like you don't have anything at all. But that's a lie. You just need more. You're in the kingdom. And everything in the kingdom is available to you. And don't you dare let the enemy make you feel like because you fell down or you let go or you didn't do something today that you don't have it. You do have it. You just got to access it. You just got to say more. That's all. Just more. Just let the enemy know, oh, you shouldn't have messed with me today because I'm about to ask for more. You need to let him know. I do have it. Because my Father has everything I need. And he doesn't run out. Remember I said there's no insufficient funds in the kingdom's economy. There's no whatever we need, it's there. It's there today, tomorrow. It's there all day. If I need it all day, I can say more. I can say more. I can say more, God. More, God. More. And I don't have to be ashamed to say more. Don't take it away from the shame out of it to the glad. Wouldn't you be so happy? You wouldn't go up to the bank and the bank teller and they said, you know what? Anytime you come in here, you can get more. Would you be standing out at the door going, here I go again asking for more? You would not. You'd probably run in there. They probably said, I just saw you 2 seconds ago. Because we'd be like, more, more, more. I'm sure more, more. But we probably... Right? Well, there you go. She said, bring in a garbage bag because we wouldn't be shamed at all. We'd be like, I get more. And God wants you. You get more, my children. You get more, my sons and daughters. You get more of whatever you need. You get more. And don't be shamed. Don't let the enemy shame you for asking for. Be glad. He can't get more. That's why he's mad. He's mad because he can get no more. The enemy has no more to get. But us, we can get more. Till he calls us home, you guys. More, more, more. Now, remember this. Now, there's another point before. Amanda's going to tell me some good points after this. She usually brings out some good points after these sermons. You got to cash this check in, okay? Remember this. More means that he's giving you something to use. Don't go home and put it in the drawer. Forget where you put the check. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
More means he has given. I said more love. So he's given me more love so that I can give more love. More forgiveness. He's given me more forgiveness so that I can give forgiveness. So that means that we're not just folding this check up and saying for a rainy day. The rainy day is right now. When you say more, it's for right now. And so cash the check in. Allow it to be the power in your life, the authority that you need over whatever situation you're going through today, that you're at that moment, that you're asking for more. Allow, cash it in. And don't worry, don't try to save back some pennies or some dollars. The whole check, cash it in and use it for that situation. And then be ready for it. If you need some more, there's some more. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
That is. Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that a wonderful thing that we can have this joy in our hearts today that no matter what happens this week, I'm going to the bank of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, and wherever I'm lacking, I'm going to say more. And I know God's going to give me more, and I'm going to cash it in for that situation. And then if something else comes up, more, more, more. Let me hear y'all's word. More, more, God.
Thank you.
Say it in authority.
More,
say it in power.
More,
don't say it like an orphan. There's a little show, a little movie, if anybody ever seen it. There's a little movie about the little Oliver. But Olive, we are no longer orphans, y'all.
That's right.
In the movie of Oliver, Oliver's in this thing, orphanage, with all these kids, and they're passing out the porridge in a bowl, and the kids get a spoon of porridge, all these kids. But Oliver, he's hungry, and he eats all his food, and he's still hungry. And so, but all the kids are scared to go up and ask for more, but not Oliver. And Oliver goes up, and he goes, please, sir.
Hallelujah.
More.
Hallelujah.
You guys, we don't have to go up and go like we're scared,
yeah,
or like
right,
we're orphans.
Right. Hey.
We don't have to do that.
Yeah.
More, God.
More.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
More, God.
Yeah.
I know you want to give it to me. More, God. I know you want me to succeed. More, God. I know you don't want me to fail. More, God.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you're my daughter. You're my sons. I'm ready to get out this pot. And
hallelujah.
I'm going to give you much
Thank you.
Yes. For whatever you're going through. See, we've made the kingdom choice. So we get the kingdom's portion. Thank you, thank you. Sometimes I can't think of words. That was right good, portion. Thank you, God. We get the kingdom's portion. We get all of it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone, God, in obedience, God, they have written what they want more of. God, right now in the name of Jesus, we believe, God, that what we've asked for, there is an abundance of it, God, to be poured out, God. There is no insufficient funds in this area, God. And God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would bless every single person, God, with their requests. They're cashing it in today, God. They're cashing it in. God, this very week, God, we know that you will hear our cry, that you will hear your children when we say more, more. God says some of you are going to be saying more, not because, you know, that is so, you need more. It's because it's so good.
Amen.
Do y'all get what I'm saying right now? Because once you start seeing what God is doing, you know, like once you taste that porridge, you might be full, but it still tastes good. I want some more. God is saying, some of it's just going to be, no, this is good. This is good. God, I feel you. I feel you doing it. I want more. I want more. I want more. God, we thank you right now, God. God, we are your children and we are not orphans.
Thank you.
We have been adopted,
yes,
fully
yes.
adopted, God, as your sons and daughters.
Yes.
And God, when we say more, we know you are pleased to give us more. And so, God, we will walk in that knowing that you are pleased. God, we rebuke the spirit of fear. You didn't give us that, God, but power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind says you are a good, good father. And you don't mind at all for us to come back and ask for more. It gives you pleasure for us to come back and ask for more. And God, I pray right now in this very week, God, that they will see strength coming to that area as your resources is poured into their lives, God. Your strength, your power is poured into that area, God, where they can know it, where they can see themselves rising above it and having victory. God, we just thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you today.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell y'all one more thing.
Yes,
because I just saw it because I was thinking about something about Amanda. So Thomas and Amanda made us these shrimp and grits. Yeah, see how my face looking? They were so good. But you know what? If I went back and I said more to Thomas and Amanda, they wouldn't be mad. They would be happy that I liked it, that I loved it. They wouldn't be mad. And God wants to tell you, that's what he wants to show you. He's like a good giver, a good cook up some stuff. And he's like wanting you to want more. He's just waiting to say, do my children love it? Do my children feel it?
Hallelujah.
Do my children see what I've done for them? And he's just
Hallelujah.
Waiting for you to say, yes, God, I want some more. And he's like, oh, angels, stir up some more.
Hallelujah.
Send them some more.
Yeah.
Because he's pleased with you wanting more.
Thank you.
That's the good Father. Some of us might have had somebody, if we asked for a dime more, they were so upset, and we're equating that to God, that God is not like that. He's not like that. He wants to provide all your needs and then some.
Yeah.
He says above and beyond what you could ever ask for or think. That's the God we serve. So when we say more, he's waiting. He says, okay, I'm going to give you that. And I'm waiting to see when you come back.
Hallelujah.
He's waiting for more. So when we walk away, you guys, let's walk away with our head up. Knowing this is going to be a great week.
Yes, it is.
Because this week is going to have all the availability of funds for whatever we need coming straight from heaven to that place that we need.
Hallelujah.
Filling us up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Guys, let me see that. I'm so excited. I got my more. And I'm looking for what God's going to do in that area.